Good morning. It's so good to be back. Appreciate being asked back. If this is indeed 12 times. I looked back on sometimes on what I've done here, and it follows a certain kind of pattern. It has to do sometimes with free will and the necessity and the utter power that we have of free choice. So, as I was saying, that was a joke. My brother, Ben, is a patent and intellectual property attorney down in Greenville, South Carolina, but he's also a photographer. One tool in his camera bag is his macro lens, which enables him to focus on the very tiny. He loves to get in close with the small. A bumblebee scouring a sunflower. A house fly's geometrically precise eyes. Patterns in leaves. He loves it. On our early morning photo shoots, what he loves to look for is a drop of water hanging from a leaf, starting to come alive with unique and magical colors in the sun's first rays. That compact water droplet sometimes is transfigured into one, a prism. And a rainbow of colors becomes highly, tightly concentrated in that compact water droplet. And that water droplet just literally comes alive with color. That magic could also be in that water drop as a lens. Through my brother's macro lens, he can capture a faraway object, like a boat out on the water, for example. And that boat will turn upside down in his camera. Or third, that magic drop. Where are we? Yes, that magic drop, if you can become a mirror, a wet mirror, actually. A very wet mirror. But because if you look very carefully into that water drop, if you look at that photograph, you can actually start to see yourself in the photo. My Hendersonville friends, there's something big going on in the small. You get in close with the small, and OMG, there's an entire other universe with its own dynamics, its own beauties. And so my message here this morning is my hope to persuade us that when you get in close with the small, you're like a tiny wet key that gives you access into the entire, well, universe. And I want to make the case that we are such keys, ground by life's experiences to the shalomed shapes that we are. And we individuals are like the business end of that key that unlocks, unblocks, and provides access. In addition to my brother, one of my inspirations for preparing this message has been John Muir, the naturalist, and Muir's observations that Ron read so well, has helped make prismatic key differences in the way we Americans see wilderness, and how we understand the wild places, and how we even understand ourselves. So his words through Ron, I think, can serve as lens, as mirror, and as prism. Thank you. Now, he was very insightful. Not bad words, huh? And you did a good job. Thank you. I can see us as raindrops falling into various places where we can provide a kind of life around us. But what about us raindrops that get dropped into intellectual deserts or economic slums? Or we come down in enemy territory. What then, Mr. Muir? We can't all fall down into the most beautiful places, Yosemite, with the most obvious of purposes to moisturize. Do you dare, Mr. Muir, that you dare to imply that we should fall happily wherever the twist of fate land us? That we should be little Pollyanna Hallmark cards wherever we find ourselves, with the motto being, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. I think that Muir calls to us still across the century that now separates us. And I hear him respond, are we only and ever to be colonized by our circumstance? Are we ever and always to be feel that we have no choice? That we are just merely victims of fate? Is there any place in this overwhelmingly holistic universe where we cannot find our true purpose and life no matter where we are? In other words, can we not be the necessary prisms and lenses and mirrors so necessary today? Montgomery, Alabama, December 1st, 1955, early evening, a public bus pulls up to a stop, and a sensibly dressed woman in her 40s gets on. She carries herself erectly, despite having spent the day bent over an ironing board in a dingy tailor shop downtown. Her feet are swollen, her shoulders ache. She sits in the first row of the colored section and watches quietly as the bus fills with riders until the driver orders her to give her seat to a white passenger. And then the woman utters a single word that enacts one of the most important civil rights protests of the 20th century. One word that helps America find its better angels of its nature. Born in Alabama, heart of Jim Crow, parents separated early, raised by a single mom at her grandparents' home, no stranger to KKK and segregated schools, she has herself become a word to the driver. Raindrop Rosa says, no. The driver threatens to have her arrested. You may do that, she says. Put on trial, Rosa Parks was found guilty of violating a local ordinance, was fined $10, $4 court fee. Inarguably, the biggest event of the day, however, was what her trial triggered. The Montgomery bus boycott, which lasted 381 days. People trudge miles to work daily. They carpool with strangers. The city's buses run empty. Rosa and her cohorts start a snowflake-heavy avalanche of justice, a raindrop-inspired flood of righteousness. They change the course of American history. Just one raindrop she was, falling with resolve in a parched desert of racism, rusting out the wheels of injustice. She was one drop of oil lubricating the wheels of justice. Time for truth, UUFH. What we allow is what shall continue. What we allow is what we shall continue. What we water survives. What we interrupt changes. We can be trained and caged monkeys or monkey wrenches. You know why you're here, don't you? If you don't, here it is right here, free. Here's why you're here on earth. To become the moisture of some seed to a person or an organization needing to sprout. That's why we're here. It doesn't take much to be a drain drop, but it does take every day. All it means is that each day we decide over and again, who we shall serve. You know Bob Dylan. He correctly sang, you gotta serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you're gonna serve somebody. And what we allow is what shall continue. Nope. I'm missing one of them. Here it is. What we power then will become empowered. We're like tiny batteries. We can insert ourselves into almost anything and keep some process, some device moving and going. That device could be a metaphorical telephone in which we enable communication, or we can be inserted into a taser and we can become violent. In the end, there's very little difference between Saint Raindrop Rosa Parks and us. Who are we enabling with all our power? In this election season, God bless it, you can see the raindrop effect. I shall not name names, but you can consider with me an unnamed candidate, wildly popular, and each supporter is a little battery device, a raindrop adding weight and power to that person's candidacy. Little batteries we are, enabling and allowing that which is to continue. It may be of the devil, it may be of God, the choice is ours. Where will we sit on the bus? And this brings me to the hard point of today's message. A particular raindrop may not understand, if it feels lost and anonymous in a big crowd, that it is the cause of the flood. One unaware snowflake may not think it is the tipping point of the destructive avalanche. An isolated raindrop may feel useless, helpless, at the whim of other raindrops in the rushing river of life. However, it is from personal and painful experience I know, and you know, what it means to say no. No. No more. Not now. Not here. Not this. To become aware of one's life and how one can feel imprisoned, but then realize how free you already are. Can I get a witness? All it takes is an interruption of what we shall allow to continue. And that interruption of the status quo is as difficult as it is necessary. But as we age, the months and the days and the years slide by, and hopefully there's a coming to terms with the power we have. Change does not happen in one day or one political season, maybe not in one lifetime. Instead, inch by inch, row by row, going to make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. We'll sing this more later. That's what it's all about, inch by inch and row by row. Because we are individuals, but we are not singles. We are individuals who are netted or tethered together in groups, such as the UUHF, a reading club, the Care Shawl Group, a social justice committee. The group united in common purpose is one that makes progress. An African proverb puts it so well, when spiders unite, they can tie up a lion. So at what point does the group's energy and power reach that tipping point and become a more obvious and welcome force for change? When does that bundle of sticks grow stronger than one's ability to break it? When you grip a tool with one hand, which is the finger that most securely grips that handle? In a choir, whose voice is it that gives someone out in the audience goosebumps? We often don't know. But a group knitted and bundled together transmits strength when needed, flexibility when called for, purpose that an individual alone might neither muster nor sustain. So, my fellow raindrops, where is the tipping point? Maybe when you join it. And maybe not until. Until a snowflake understands that it can tip the cause of a mighty avalanche of justice, and until a raindrop understands that she is the tipping point that ends the drought. Intentional change is hard to come by. Each person, each raindrop, must understand herself and himself as the business end of a key that unlocks the interlocking chains of injustice. And you know it's tempting. Just lie low. Wait for others. Expect the next Martin Luther King. Meanwhile, everything that passes us by unattempted is going to remain impossible. And our ignorance of that impossible will, if there's a judgment day, come back and haunt us. Parker Palmer wrote, "No punishment anyone might inflict on us could possibly be worse than the punishment we inflict on ourselves by conspiring in our own diminishment." Ouch. What if you are the hero both you and your world, hell, Henderson County, or your street have been waiting for? You? Me? The raindrop that will moisten a dried up situation? A pruned up person? A moisturizer of an old and decrepit injustice? If you think you're too small, anybody? If you think you're too small, can't do anything, just take a lesson from that mosquito in your bedroom some night. Every human being is a raindrop. And when enough of the raindrops become clear and coherent, they then become the power of a storm. So my urging today is for us to resolve to re-see ourselves. Where's my mirror? Re-see ourselves as the quiet heroes we have awaited all these years. Like St. Rosa, St. Martin, or St. whomever, we have a part to play. But not to play it and sit on the sidelines is an affront to the giver of our gifts. We can be used to bring peace and order and food and justice and education and all good things to this troubled world. Or we can sit this life out on the bench. We are God's weather. My fellow raindrops, we are that important. And the gifts we have, the small individuals we are water to the thirsty. Maybe you and I are called to join our raindrops together to moisten dry places, to join together to become a cup of water to the thirsty, to join forces and become a stream in some desert, a river for irrigation, an ocean for connecting people all over the world. Rich or not, female or not, young or not, smart or not, introverted or not, each of us is a called out drop of water, encouraged to join other drops of water in common cause to bring true community nearer to our time, closer to our space, and to make a cup of water, even if it spills, a stream, a river, even a rainbow, you're going to need more than one drop. I conclude with a quote from a theologian who changed my life, Frederick Buechner. "The place that God calls you," he said, "is the place where your deep gladness meets the world's deep hunger." Your deep meets the world's deep. As your deep gladness meets the world's deep hungers and thirsts, you'll find you got more gifts. You'll find you got more energy, more resources, and you'll find more people singing from the same songbook. I promise you, because we are prisms, and we are lenses, and we are mirrors, tiny new ways to reframe the world. Bring it new vision, bring it new focus. Find your gift. Humble as it may be, your voice shaky as it may be, your gladness bottled up as it may be, your passion candle-like as it may be, your heart for service is exactly what's necessary, is exactly what the world is so thirsty for, because we are raindrops. Go, make good weather. So say we all. Amen. So say we all.